Chapter 12. A Lesson About Love. Sarah sat up in bed, turning her head from one man to the other.
"I didn't get married because I was in love," said Shakespeare. "Anne Hathaway was already 3 months pregnant when I married her. I was forced to marry her because I had made a mistake."
"So is that why you moved to London by yourself and left your family in Stratford?" asked Sarah.
"Exactly," replied Shakespeare. "I know that it means that I wasn't a good father or husband, but it was impossible for me to stay. If I had stayed, I would have gone crazy there. I escaped from a situation that I hated."
"I wasn't in love either when I got married," said Cervantes. "I only married for money."
"I'm confused," said Sarah. "I thought that you were forced to take jobs as a tax collector because you and your wife didn't have any money."
Cervantes smiled. "I was told that the woman I was going to marry, Catalina de Salazar, came from a rich old family," he said. "However, after the wedding, I discovered that Catalina's mother was desperate for her daughter to marry somebody. Catalina's father had died recently, and her mother wanted another man in the family to provide stability. She liked the fact that I was a mature man. I was 37 at the time, and that I was a war veteran.
I didn't find out that Catalina's family had lost all their money until I was already married to her."
"That's all very interesting," Sarah said. "But I wasn't thinking about marrying Nick."
"We know that," said Cervantes. "We're only saying that you should always take the time to listen to your heart in personal relationships. Choose to spend time only with people who make you feel good about yourself."
"I agree," said Shakespeare, going to Cervantes and shaking his hand. "It's a pleasure to meet you finally. I loved reading Don Quixote."
"I'm happy that you enjoyed it," replied Cervantes.
"You read Don Quixote?" Sarah asked Shakespeare, surprised.
"Of course," he said. "The English translation of the first part was published 4 years before I died, and it was very popular. I'm sorry that I didn't live long enough to read the second part."
"Well, I'm sorry that I never read any of your plays," said Cervantes.
"They were never formally published until 7 years after we died," explained Shakespeare.
"You published your poetry, so why didn't you ever publish your plays?" asked Sarah.
"That's a good question," said Shakespeare. He thought for a moment before replying. "I suppose that although I loved writing and performing my plays, I thought that my poetry was more important. Poetry was considered a serious form of literature in England when I was alive. Plays were considered vulgar entertainment."
"Ha!" cried Cervantes.
"It was exactly the opposite in Spain at the time. Plays were considered a very serious form of literature. Although Don Quixote was popular, people thought that novels were vulgar entertainment."
"The biggest irony of my life is that I'm remembered for a novel that I didn't think would be very important, after working so hard to be successful in the theatre like you."
"I must take notes of what they're saying," Sarah thought. She moved quietly to her desk, opened her notebook discreetly, and began to write. She didn't want to distract them as they began to tell each other about their lives.
"That sounds so exciting," commented Shakespeare when Cervantes told him about his time as a soldier. "You travel to so many places that I could only dream about. I described battles, but you actually fought in them. My life was very boring compared to yours."
"Believe me," replied Cervantes, "I would have been happier if I had had a more boring life like yours. You didn't have any adventures, but you had financial security. That's something that I never had." After some time, they began comparing the theatre in Spain and England during their lifetimes.
Theatre was very popular in Spain then, Cervantes explained. However, the church and some of the authorities didn't like it. They thought that it was immoral.
That's similar to how it was in England, agreed Shakespeare. I remember that the church didn't approve of the theatre companies because they were making so much money that they could build permanent theatres. They said that it was a sign of evil times.
When were the first permanent theatres built? Cervantes asked.
The first one was built in 1576 by Richard Burbage, Shakespeare replied.
Ah, you English were first then, Cervantes said.
Our Corrales, that's what we call our permanent theatres, weren't established until 6 years later. I remember how excited all the actors and actresses were when they were built. Finally, they could make money without travelling constantly.
Wait, interrupted Shakespeare. Did you say that you had actresses?
Yes, of course, Cervantes answered.
I can't believe it, cried Shakespeare. Women were not permitted to be in plays in England. We had to use boys to play the female roles.
Well, it was permitted in Spain, replied Cervantes. The authorities tried to stop women from performing, but some of the actresses fought to be permitted to act. They finally found a compromise which allowed women on stage on the condition that they were married to one of the men in their theatre company. Although Sarah was fascinated by the two writers' conversation, she was beginning to feel very tired. Shakespeare saw that she was having difficulty keeping her eyes open.
I think that Sarah needs to go to sleep, he said to Cervantes.
Yes, it's time to go, agreed Cervantes. Come on, let's find another place to talk, and I'll tell you about the second part of Don Quixote if you tell me about your plays.
No, please don't go yet, cried Sarah.
But an instant later, the room was full of a bright light, which forced her to close her eyes. When she opened them again, she was lying in bed. It was morning, and sunlight was coming in through her window.
Of all the dreams I've had, that was the strangest, she thought as she got out of bed. And all that information will really make my project interesting.
Then she saw that her notebook was open and that there were notes written on it. Sarah couldn't believe what she saw when she looked at the notes. They were the notes that she had taken during the conversation that Shakespeare and Cervantes had had in her dream. But there was also something extra. There were two notes at the bottom of the page that looked like they had been written with a quill that was still there on the table. They said, Nos honras, and You do us honor, with both writers' signatures under them. They were really here, thought Sarah.
I've got to tell Geoffrey about this. He's the only person who will really believe me and understand everything.